in this meeting, and I praise the Lord for it. I don't want to sound like a pessimist. I'm not a pessimist. I refuse, by the grace of God, to join that complaining crowd. I learned a long time ago, preacher, if I think negative, I become negative, I preach negative, and my fruit's negative. I'm not talking about forgetting sin. I'm not talking about that at all. But I'm talking about if I preach with victory, think with victory, I live with victory, I preach with victory, and I help others have victory along the way. I'm not down, but you ask these missionaries and you'll find out real quickly, not every meeting they get in is like this. Not every meeting I get in is like this. I go to a lot of meetings out, there's absolutely nothing done in preparation. I mean, I'm not saying somebody didn't pray, but no preparation, nothing in the building changes, no. And it's just, you know, we come in, go to meeting, let's hurry up and get over and get out of here so we can go back. But you're just going all out this weekend. I praise the Lord for it. I appreciate Brother Sexton, his family, and all of you family. I just almost feel like family myself. I don't know if somebody stuck me a message up here on one of these little things or not. But
I left something in the computer that I was going to
make. Some one of you missionaries ever probably left your little stick up here. I don't know, but I'm gonna lay it over here. I'll knock it off somewhere. All right, let's stand together if you would please. Our Bible open. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, I read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. I've probably read this for 10 years here now. You say, why are you still reading it? Some of you not got it. I heard about a fellow, Brother Sexton, who had taken a church, and he preached a few Sundays, and then he preached on 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Come back next Sunday and said, turn your Bible to 1 John 2:15. He preached it a second time. Come back the next Sunday, said, turn your Bible to 1 John 2:15, preach it a third time. So the deacons kind of met with him after church and said, well, when are you going to preach something else? And he said, when you all start practicing what I'm preaching now. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Bible said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God had prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve of your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. And then the message for this morning from God's eternal word. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the joys of the Lord that has been so abundant to my own heart during these days. Lord, I never get tired of thanking you. You let me be born in America. As I looked at these slides, I realized, Lord, I could have been born anywhere, lived and died, and never heard your name, never had a Bible, never had a church, never met a Christian. Born in darkness, live in darkness, die in darkness, and live eternally in a Christless hell. But in your mercy, somehow, dear Lord, you let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me by your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You've kept me there all these years. And Lord, I say with the songwriter, I owe it all to you. Thank you, Father, for this good church, this dear people. And I pray, dear Lord, that you help us to continue to remember, without you, we're nothing. All that we have or ever hope to be, we owe it all to you. Father, I pray now you will speak to our hearts from your word today. Give us ears to listen, a heart to understand, and a readiness of mind and will to do that, oh God, that you want us to do in the service today. Save the lost, bless your people. We'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the message for today from the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, I'll come there in just a few moments and deal with that. But I have learned, and I'm not minimizing Bible terminology. Please don't think that. But I've learned a lot of times that practical illustrations and practical statements are a great way to put on people's mind things that remember and help them to understand as well as remember. Now, I want you to hear me, please, and don't cut me off till I get through. The church is the Lord's church. That's a good place to say amen. Can I say it again? I don't think we caught it. The church is the Lord's church. I want to say it one more time. The church is the Lord's church. You know what that means? It's not mine. It's not yours. I don't mind you calling this my church. I use that expression. But we know what we're talking about there. You see, what are you saying, preacher? Well, since it's the Lord's church, financing it is the Lord's bill. Pity the person who's got such a poor old God that he has to depend upon us to pay his bill. Are you with me? So God set up a method, his own method, his own plan, to pay the bills, to operate his church. Can I get an amen? And it's not yard sales. It's tithes and offerings. And can I say this? Abraham practiced it over 4,000 years ago, and it still works. Where God's people will give tithes and offerings to the local church treasury, God, through them, will pay the bills to finance the church. Amen. The tithe is the Lord's. It doesn't belong to us. Amen. Amen? And so God literally says, I'm entrusting you with this money to put in the church to pay the bills. And this money don't belong to you, it belongs to God. Can I make another statement? The Great Commission is the Lord's. Now, Brother Sexton, you and I preach it, but it's not our orders, it's God's order. It's God's commission. You know what that means? It's God's bill. Well, missions is not my bill. Can I get an amen? It's God's bill. Can I say it? Listen to me. I didn't tell you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God did. Now, what kind of God would it be that would give an order and not pay for it? Brother Wayne, I want to use Andy as your son, am I right? I could use your daughter. But I use Andy. We make the boys out of this thing. But I don't know. I'm making up a story. People can identify with where it's a true fact about you or situation. But I want to use you and Andy. I could use me and my son. But I don't know a thing about young days in your life. But let me make my story. Here's where the Sextons live, out in the country. Down the road, just a little piece, is a little country store. You got it in your mind? Back in them days, you could send your children to the store. So Andy's 12 years old, and preacher says to him, Andy, we need a loaf of bread. Run down to the store and get a loaf of bread. What's Andy going to do? He give the order. It's his bill. Are you with me? Now, when he puts that money in Andy's hand, Andy better guard it and do with it what Daddy told him to. Now, he may say to you, Daddy, can I get me a bar of candy? You give permission to that. But then the rest of it is brought back to Daddy. Now, there is no rest of it in what I'm talking about, but God give us a commission. And God did it expecting to pay the bill. God's not, can I say it? Poor old God if he's counting on me to pay his bill. But the principle is Daddy gave it to son because Daddy gives son an order, a commandment. Now, Brother Sexton, let me change it again. This time, and I know this is a little bit out of, but you can follow me anyway. Son, your mama's got a list. It looked like this may be $20. If you're going to give him a loaf of bread, in them days you could give him a dime. I mean, give him a dollar. I remember when you got a loaf of bread for a dime. But if you give a list, you don't just give a dollar. You know about what it's going to cost to do what you told him to do. You're not going to hand him a dollar bill and say, Andy, see if you can buy all this with this. Can somebody say amen? Are you reading what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, whatever God orders you to do, he will put in your hand according to pay the bill. If God orders $5 a week missions, God's planning on paying it. If God orders 25, he's planning on paying it. If God orders 100, he's planning on paying it. Come on, it's his bill. Not mine, it's his. God owns it all. Now, I'm just kind of rambling, but I hope I'm not rambling. But I want to do another thing. I think I done this last year. There is a God in heaven. Can I get an amen there? There's a world going to hell. That God loved that world enough, he gave his son to die for it. That same God said, can I put it in today's language? All the money's mine. All the silver and all the gold. God said, I own it all. Now what kind of God would it be that would give his son to die for a world and withhold the money that's going to take for somebody to go tell it? I want to make a statement. I make it fearfully, but it's true. God the Father would betray his son if he sent him to die for a cause that he wouldn't win under finance. That's a big statement, preacher, but it's a true truth from the Word of God. God the Father sent his son to die. Can I get an amen? God the Father would betray that son that died for the world if he would not finance a program for the world to know. Because the world can't be saved if they don't know. So what I'm saying to you this morning, and I've jumped ahead to do this, what I'm saying to you this morning is, don't worry about what God orders, because God's going to give you sufficiency to cover what he sends you to do. One of the dangers of faith promise is we get accustomed to it. And it can become two or three things. Number one, you know, well, it's faith promise again. I need to raise mine a couple of dollars so I can really feel good and say I'm giving more than I gave last year. Number two, there can be some question rise up and say, well, I don't know if I can raise it or not. I'm just going to maintain it. And that may be the will of God for somebody, preacher. Stay where they're at. But there's also a tendency to look at it and say, well, I've done this, and, you know, whatever excuse you want to put, things are tight, things don't look good, and retreat. There may be some cases where it's the will of God that you don't give what you've given before, especially if you change from, you know, a good income to living on limited income. But I want to tell you this, God's not in the fixed income business. Did you ever try to put fixed income in the Bible? Now the just shall live a fixed income. Whatsoever's not a fixed income is sin. Without fixed income, it's impossible to please God. I'm not making fun of people who live on limited. I'm not doing that at all. But I'm saying to you, God is not changed. God's neither in a depression or recession or obsession or concession. He's still God. And it's very important that we look at today's faith promise in the light of the judgment seat of Christ for us and eternity for the unsaved that we're going after. I want to emphasize again, Brother Sexton, I'm using you because you're the pastor, but you would not say to Andy as a 12-year-old boy, son, go get mama some groceries without you gave him some money. God's not going to tell you to do something that He's not going to provide. Matter of fact, I like this, and I had no idea rambling this way when I started, but going this direction, maybe I should say. Faith promise. Preacher, it's really not us promising God first. It's God promising us. Because God's not going to tell you to give what He's not going to provide. So it's literally God saying to you, if you'll believe me, confess it, I'll provide it. Am I wrong? Are you following me? I'm not wrong. It's God promising me. God said, if you'll obey me and trust me, I will put in your possession money to put in my work. Faith is saying, Lord, I'll take it and I'll put it in. I'll do it. It's not according to what I can see, not according to what I can do. Brother Bill, you probably know Brother Josh Harjo, the Indian, Choctaw Indian. Brother Harjo is the one that taught me faith promise. When I was the first one I ever had, he preached the first 7 or 8 conferences that we had there at Bethel. And Brother Harjo used to make this statement. He said, he'd say, if God lays it on your heart to do it, God's already going to provide it. But he said, now, if you can see it, it's not a faith. If you can figure it out, it's not a faith. And if you didn't ask God what God wanted you to do and Him tell you, it's not a faith. Faith's not you just doing something good. Amen? Faith is simply, and no offense to the military men, but faith is just simply a yes to the authority that's issued you an order. God said, Noah, build an ark. Preacher, you've got to read all the way to Hebrews 11 before you find this statement. By faith, Noah moved with fear and built an ark. God said, Abraham, come out. Genesis 11. You've got to come all the way to Hebrews 11 to find out. By faith, Abraham went out. Faith is no more than a simple obedience, trusting God wherever God guides. I used to say God will provide, but then I learned it's God's already provided. God said to Elijah, I have commanded the ravens. He talked to the ravens before he talked to Elijah. God said to Elijah, I have commanded the widow woman. He talked to the widow woman before he talked to Elijah. Whatever God tells you to do, the resources, can I use a carnal word that we understand? The resources are already in God's account. He's got the money. And He'll dish it out as He sees the need. In our life, God will give to us what He will not give through us. Now, that's a summary of the burden that's on my heart. And more in these days, don't let it lose its zeal. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your excitement over giving the faith promise given. I tell you what happens and what causes that is when you quit letting it be by faith and you just do it by figure. Oh, I can give another dollar or two. I can give this. And you leave God out of it and it loses its joy. Boy, when it's by faith, God will put some excitement in it. I don't think I've told this story here, preacher. I was preaching a meeting down in Florida. And, just two rows of pews, aisle right down the middle. Sitting right here to my left on this left-hand side, about the second pew, could have been the third pew, was a couple in their 35, 37-year-old. And you know what I'm talking about. You didn't have to look twice. No, they had been out there and sin. I mean, they just had the countenance of sin, the effect of sin on their life. And boy, he sat there and ate up what I was preaching. And a preacher said to him at church, said, you see that guy? I said, yes. And that couple, I said, yes. And he said, man, they got saved about two or three months ago. They're eating up everything. He told me, he said, it won't be, you won't preach many times, so he'll come up to you at church and make comment on what you're preaching. So I preached on tithing one night, and dealing, and he come in, he said, I'm doing that. And the pastor said, he is, but I don't know how they do it. And then I preached on faith promise giving. And he come up to me and he said, "Can we do that?" Well, I want to tell you, I've never told anybody no. Because I believe everybody can. And I said, "Sure. Ask God what he wants you to do. Start doing it. Watch God bless you." And he walked away. And honestly, the preacher, I don't know if he meant to be as exaggerated as it was. But, I mean, he gave me that big old eye roll, you know. And he said, "Preacher, if you just knew the condition they're in financially." I said, "If God tells them to give, they'll obey him. God will bless him for it." Well, we took faith promise on Sunday morning. I always tell people not to tell me what to give. But boy, he's back there. Come up, I back there singing. He comes and said, "I done it." Preacher rolled his eyes again. I said, "What'd you do?" And he said, "I asked the Lord what he wanted me to give and said, God told me to give $30 a month. I don't know how we're going to do it. That's what God told me to do, and I'm going to see if he'll do what you said he'd do." I said, "If you've done what he told you to do, he'll do it." He walked away, and that preacher gave me them eye rolls again, you know. This guy goes to church on Monday morning, I work on Monday morning, and of course the people he worked with, you know, just seen him get saved 3 months ago and such a drastic change in his life, and that's all I want to talk about church now. And he come in, he told him at break time, he said, "Man, I got in on something else yesterday." He said, "What is it?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know, people everywhere need the Lord." And he said, "That preacher come down there last week and we had a mission something. I don't remember what they called it, but a missions meeting. And he said, that preacher said God wanted everybody to hear the gospel so much that if you would let him, he'd give something through you. So somebody could hear the gospel and then God would turn around and reward you for it at the judgment seat of Christ." And he is so excited telling. He said, "I don't know how I'm going to do it. God told me to give $30. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do." And he was so excited standing around the Coke machine, the break room area there, telling that. While he's telling it, a lost man reaches for his wallet and hands him $30 and said, "Here's the first payment." And I guess it was 6-8 months later, I was back in that area, and that lost man had come up to him every month. "It's about time for that mission money again, ain't it?" You see, I wouldn't take money from a sinner. 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. I'll take all you can send me. You see, what I'm saying is, we get used to it. And we don't really go faith in our faith promise giving. So it gets to the point it loses its excitement. But it ought not do that. And it won't do that if we'll take the step of faith that God wants us to take. I'm not appealing and I'm not trying to appealing to your emotions. But I'm just simply saying to you, you've got both a privilege and a responsibility to get involved in doing something that's beyond yourself. And something that has eternal consequences for somebody. An eternal reward for you as you obey God. Now, Brother Sexton and I intended to get up here and go through the scriptures. That's been more of a testimonial illustration. But that's what it's about. I challenge you, don't just let it be another feeling out of the card. You ought to pray as seriously about this one as you did the first one. "Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" Now, I bring up Andy again in this illustration I used a while ago. Andy goes down our store and Brother Sexton, there's one thing he's got on mind. "I can't forget what Daddy told me to do. Got to remember what Daddy told me to get." Amen. I mean, if Mama sends him after a loaf of bread, a pound of butter's not enough, you know. We must get our orders from God. As we carry them out, God will honor them. Now, quickly let me go through this. What time we normally get out of Sunday school? 10:30. The Bible teaches tithing. That's God's method of paying the bills of His church. The tithe is the first 10% of her income. It does not belong to us. It belongs to God. Can I make this statement? You'll never get ahead financially getting behind with your tithes. You can't outgive God, but you can't outrob Him either. His spoon's bigger than your shovel if it's dishing out to you or taken from you. The tithe doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. It's not mine. So what do? God said when there's an increase, number one, He said separate His from ours. When you pull out that paycheck and look at it, the first thing you ought to think is, that check says $500, 50 of this belongs to God. I don't start planning with 500, I start planning with 450. Are you following my figures? It's not mine. It's the Lord. So God said separate. Then God said bring it. Take it and go. Those three words are used. Bring it, take it, go. In different passages. Thou shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place in him. Now, here's God said, Brother Sexton said, Andy, this worked pretty good. I never done this illustration. But Sexton said, Andy, go to the store. Get a loaf of bread. Now, I'm just throwing out, that don't mean go down to the movie house. That don't mean, Andy, do whatever you want to with this money. I'm giving you money, go to the store, get some bread. God said, you separate my tithe from your 90% and you go to a particular place. He didn't say, do what you want to with it. He said, thou shalt go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. And there's not but one institution on planet earth in this dispensation of the church that God chose to place His name, and that is the church. This Bible gives no one liberty or license to do anything with God's tithe but bring it to church. Don't send it to me. Don't send it to any radio ministry, any children's home, any missionary. By the way, missionaries, I will say to you, I am strong in what I'm fixing to say. I made the commitment a long time ago. Pastor, if I were to receive a check in the mail for Harvest Time broadcast that said tithe, I would return it. Amen. Missionary, don't you take a check that says tithe on it. Sometimes it's ignorance on the giver's part, and you correct it with them, and they'll go ahead and give it as an offering. But don't you get involved in their... You can't give it to a widow woman. Don't put missionary... give it to a missionary. Don't put gas in your tank so you can go do something. No. God said separate it and bring it to church. The tithe goes to the church. And I want to make this statement. You better watch any so-called preacher, and there's some good preachers in a lot of areas that would make this statement, that encourage you to send part of the tithe to them. You know why they do that? If you'll check, they have a ministry of their own that's apart from the local church. Any man of God that is where his connection is right with the church will tell you the tithe goes to the church. If he tells you something else, mark him off. Mark him off. Mark him off. God said, separate it. Bring it to church. And then God said, when you arrive, you're to set it before the Lord. That set it before the Lord literally is a picture of dedication. Watch me. You brought it in, and there were certain places, Brother Sexton, around the altar where they set down particular offering. You realize most of them didn't bring money and put it in the offering plate. So they brought it in, and they set it down. Watch me. They brought it in, they set it down, and did this. They took their hands off. It lost their identity, and it lost their control. You know, I am not responsible for what my church does with my tithe. Now, I do have a situation. If my church was wrong in doing that, I don't know if I ought to put up much argument about them being wrong about tithe. I probably ought to just get out and get one that's right. If I couldn't trust my pastor, I ought to leave and get where I could trust my pastor. If I couldn't trust the leadership of my church, I ought to go somewhere else. And I'm not trying to run anybody off. But my responsibility is to bring it. And if they're wrong, two wrongs don't make a right. God said, bring it, separate it, dedicate it, take your hands off. It becomes the church's money, it's the Lord's tithe. And then God said, we're to give it in a spirit of worship. And in a spirit of rejoicing. Worship is internal. Rejoicing is external. God said, and if you want, sometimes study Deuteronomy chapter number 26, that first great, the great chapter on worship. But it starts out, Brother Sexton, with tithing. Now all that worship is built around tithing. God said, when you're going to worship, here's where you got to start. You got to remember where you're at down in Egypt, where I found you. Then think how I brought you out with a strong arm. And I brought you in. And you are now dwelling in the land of blessings that I promised you. Here's what I like to say. Worship begins by thinking. Start thinking on the goodness of God. And you can't think long on the goodness of God till thinking changes into thinking. Now, I know we're rednecks and our thinking and thanking. You know, we sang in the choir, we swang on the front porch, and I've been thanking, but think and thank, y'all. It's hard for me to say I'm different, Brother Sexton. I've just said all the time, I've been thanking. Well, I'm just thinking. Think on the goodness of God. You can't sit there and think long on the goodness of God till it just starts. Brother Ed Blue said worship was thinking on the goodness of God till it started oozing out your eyeballs. God said, every time you start to worship, stop a moment and think where I found you, what I brought you out of, what I brought you into, what I've done for you. I think about this for a second. I probably mentioned this before as much as a preacher, but I wonder sometimes, I'm not suggesting this now, but I wonder sometimes what would happen if you were to get up, you know, and just plan the first Sunday in the month. Oh, well, you can even plan next Sunday. Next Sunday, I don't want anybody writing a tithe check before you get to church. Just bring your checkbook. We'll sit here and write them together. If you give cash, you're going to put an envelope. Don't stuff the envelope. You just don't give in an envelope or check either one. You just reach in your wallet and pull it out. Don't even pull it out. Leave it alone in your pocketbook. And get up here and say, well, it's offering time. And remember what Brother Blue said? We're supposed to stop a minute and think on the goodness of God to me before I tithe. Now, knowing Sister Sharon like I do, she probably couldn't be quiet for a minute thinking on the goodness of God. There may be others interrupt. Here's what I think, preacher. I think there'd probably be some checks that never did get signed. There'd be some that were so jerky, them trembling, you couldn't read them. There'd probably be some that they got happy and jerked them out and ripped them half in two. And they'd probably, like some of these other night, they'd probably have a couple of laps around this building waving a tithe check. That's the internal becoming the external. That's the worship becoming rejoicing and praise. So God said, I'm going to bless you with a job. I'm going to bless you with some income. I'm not going to charge you like the federal government does. 20-something, 30-something, 40-something percent. I'm going to let you live on my earth, drink my water, breathe my air, eat my food, and have a job. Help! Physical and emotional, mental, and be able to make money. And all I'm going to charge you is 10%. That's the charge. The offering is a gift. God said, you separate it and bring it to church. And this is my means of paying my bills to finance my church. I don't think I can overemphasize what I'm fixing to say. I've already said it. But you'll never get ahead financially getting behind with the Lord's tithe. Somebody said, well, if you don't give it, God will get it anyway. I challenge that. I don't believe that. If you don't give it, you won't get to enjoy it. But I tell you who a lot of times gets it, and no offense to anybody here, no offense to anybody. The doctor may get it. The automobile mechanic may get it. And whatever category may get it. They may not bring it to church, preacher. They may take it to the liquor store. They may take it to buy drugs. There's a lot of people driving automobiles that they bought with God's tithe. They live in houses they make payments on with God's tithe. They wear clothes. They go on vacation that they pay with God's tithe. I'm telling you, you don't get ahead financially getting behind with God's tithe. As a young man, I knew that from the Word of God, but I had to learn it in a personal experience. I'm glad I learned it. God said that tithe, first 10% belongs to me. Separate it, bring it to church, put it in the offering plate, dedicate it to God. Do it in a spirit of worship, remembering what I've done for you, and a spirit of rejoicing. Look how good God is to me. Now, if people are not saved, they cannot tithe and get by with it, maybe. But if they're saved, you cannot rob God and get by with it long. God don't balance His books the first of every month, but He will balance them. So God chose to finance His church. I want to church, you're to be commended. I just learned last night you bought the preacher that truck. I'm envious. Y'all do it for the event. No. I'm praying God will get on him. No. Seriously, church, that is to be commended. They just bought him a new vehicle. That is to be commended, church. You're to be, and you take care of the tithe, take care of the church, pay the bills, take care of the man of God, pay his bills, take care of him. Finance the local work. That's God's money. And Brother Sexton, I know you'd say this, not to mention this, so, but the proper way to say is, the Lord supplied the truck through the church. Don't rob God of the glory and don't rob the church. And I'm really saying this to people to understand that. God said, it's my man. It's my church. I'll take care of taking care of them through the tithes and the offerings. And can I say it? Everybody in here, so remember, this church has been around long. You ought to rejoice in the Lord. God has proven himself faithful by providing for this church through these years. One man said to me, I thought about going to that Faith Promise missions. What I told him, preacher, I told him when we started Faith Promise at Bethel, 1974, however many years ago that's been. I said, I noticed. He said that it affected the other offering. I said, yep. About $100 a week. Our faith promise was $104, $5 a week, the first one we took in 74. And I got to know some Brother Bud, and it affected our church offering. He said, that preacher said, I thought it would. Said, I figured they'd just borrow from Peter and paper. I said, no, you got it wrong. I said, the tithe and offering went up $100 a week too. I've never seen a church that would honor God in missions. Fact is, if you do it right, tithing is first. I'm talking about on the list. That's because that doesn't belong to you. That's God's. Don't touch that. That's first. Then the free will offering follows, and then the mission offering is in there. I think free will offering, I think mission offering ought to come second. You know, if you're going to make it list priorities. But God said, I'm going to build my church. He put his name on it. He claimed it. I would not expect you to come to my house and pay my bills. I'd like it. But I don't expect it. I'd be surprised, Brother Rick, or somebody knocked on my door next week and said, Brother Blue, can I have your light bill? Can I have your water bill? Can I have your, thank God there is no car payment, no house payment anymore. Can I make your payment? Brother Blue, I just wanted to buy your groceries this week. I'd take it. Thank God, but I'm not expecting it. It's my bill. I'm supposed to pay mine. Financing the church is God's bill, and God will pay it. And anytime, listen, and I'm through, anytime, any church, I don't care who it is, where it is, large or small in number, any church that will obey God, get its membership to obey God in tithes and offerings, are you listening to me? Will be provided the money by the Lord to do whatever God wants that church to do. And by the way, churches are different. God don't want every church to have a Bible college. God don't want every church to have a children's home. God don't want every church to have a camp. You know these things that we have on. But whatever God orders, God will provide to take care of the normal operation of that church by tithe and offerings. You don't get ahead financially getting behind on God's tithe. Father, honor your word. Take the scattered remarks and use them to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, I'm through.